Thank you, Katie, for reading the scripture to us today, which is from Mark chapter 1. And we're thinking about the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel? The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a life or death matter, I think. I hope you believe that as well. Speaking about leadership ones, Bill Hybels, the senior pastor at Willow Creek Church in America, he's been there a long time now, and he tells the story how he was invited to a dinner party in Washington, D.C., and he was seated beside a general, an army general, and they got talking over the meal, and the general recounted how some of his experiences, pardon me, in Vietnam. He had really difficult decisions to make, and he made some bad decisions, and he said that those bad decisions resulted in the death of people in the battlefield. And the last thing that the general said to this pastor, this leader, before they parted was this: you ought to be glad that you don't lead in the military, because it's a matter of life and death. And so Bill Hybels went on to say that church work, the stakes are even higher, because it's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. And on that point, that's a great one he made. If a high street bank collapses, people lose money. Now, that's hard, and none of us like to lose money, but it's not the end of everything. Although some people have believed it is, but money is money and life is life. It's only money, as some people would say. If a general makes a mistake on the battlefield, lives are lost. It's war. But if a church leader makes a serious mistake, quite possibly souls are in danger. And I believe that there's nothing higher or more valuable than the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's all about people trying to find their way when they've lost their way. And it's all about disciples discovering their full potential to live life to the full. It's about lonely people finding brothers and sisters in Christ, finding a family. And it's about the poor getting a chance in life. It's about being able to serve God in a dignified way. It's about the community finding hope and meaning where a church exists. It's about heaven coming to earth. It's about a whole host of things that are really important. It's a huge subject. So then what can we say about the gospel of Christ that is meaningful for us today? What does it mean, the gospel of Christ? Well, I hope that these few things that I want to say this morning will prove helpful for you. First thing about the gospel of Christ, it is godly. It is godly. Mark, maybe chronologically speaking, he's the first person out of the gospels to start to write about the gospel. And listen to what he says. His opening sentence, the first thing in his mind he wants to tell his readers, the beginning of the good news, and that word means gospel, euangelion, the Greek word, gospel, about Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. Thanks, Mark. The Son of God. He can't fit anything more into that first verse. There's nothing. There isn't a word we could take out of that without destroying it. The beginning of the good news gospel about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And he gets the punch in right from the very beginning. And the coming of the New Testament era was a breaking period of time. It's a groundbreaking period of time, sorry. It was one of those major shifts from faith in God, which sought to keep the law, all the rules and regulations, to a faith in God that was based upon grace, which is one of God's lovely gifts to us. So rather than a way to live, ticking all the boxes, must do this, mustn't do such and such, it went from that to accepting a great gift from God, which was by faith, and that gift was God's grace, enabling us to live as if Jesus would live in the world. Everything that God gave Moses in terms of the law was holy. It was righteous. It was right. It was a perfect law. But with the coming of the gospel, the godliness was even greater. Even greater. Because Jesus kept the law perfectly. He kept the law perfectly. It was written not on tablets of stone, which were cold and hard, and for many people a burden, but were written on tablets of the human heart, which were warm and compassionate and filled with God's grace. It was brought to us by God's only Son. In our midweek house group at Mike and Marion's, we've actually started a series of studies on Galatians, and it highlights this very shift in the letter from the old to the new. It might be easier to think of it in terms of the difference between the old and the new, but also what might be helpful is to think of it as a difference between infancy and adulthood. Because the law was like, as Paul writes in Galatians 4, those few verses at the beginning of that chapter, he writes about the law as if it was a guardian to look after little children until they came of age. That was the role of the law. But the period of the law was lovely. It was great for childhood, and it was all of that was necessary. But now we are adults. Now we are adults, and Paul was able to describe in a very meaningful way how the gospel was God's way to be fair to everyone in the world on the basis of faith. And so the old way has gone. The old way was godly, but it has gone. And the new way is godlier still, and it is here in Jesus Christ. The difference between the old and the new. It is godly. The gospel is godly. Second thing I want to say is that the gospel is also truthful. Everything about it is truthful. And Paul says a really interesting thing here in his letter to the Corinthians. He writes, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and in which you have taken your stand, and by this gospel you are saved. Now, there are some churches that make a big thing of creeds, and I think creeds are good. There's some scriptural creeds. There's some creeds where theologians have got together and they say, well, this is a summary of what we believe, but I want to give you a really good scriptural creed here. It's in something that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. This is what he writes. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died for us according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. I believe that. I believe that as gospel. He died for us according to the scriptures. He was put in the ground. He was dead. And he was raised to life on the third day according to the truth of the scriptures. I talked about this recently, about the necessity of facts and faith, how there are certain things that we know this is true. This is a fact. And we've got to put our faith in those facts. But more than just facts to recite is the way that we are to live. And the great apostle Paul was convinced that the gospel of Christ was to be a part of our everyday life. And so not just for Sunday, but actually when we're at work, it's for the whole of life. And what's interesting is that the Hebrew word for truthful means something that is morally true. It means something that is relationally true. In other words, it's true between me and my wife, between me and my children, between me and you, my church, between me and my neighbor, between me and God. All of that truth that's really true is only true when it's true between us and between one another. So it's morally true, it's relationally true, and it's reliable. You can trust it. So when we talk about truth, we're actually saying a lot more than 2 + 2 = 4. I know that's true, but that doesn't make a scrap of difference to anyone. But the truth of the gospel does. The truth has implications. We have to understand the godly value of truthfulness, and that's a part of the gospel we believe. Need to move on. Third thing, it is compelling. The gospel is compelling. Luke in his gospel recounts Jesus as saying that he was compelled by the Spirit of the Lord to preach the gospel to the poor, which in turn provides release to the captives and sight for the blind. So on one occasion, he returns to his hometown and he goes into his home synagogue and was given an opportunity to read the scriptures, and they brought the scroll. It was a scroll of Isaiah, and he opens it up to Isaiah 61, and on that occasion, this is what he was compelled by the Spirit to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim gospel, good news, to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim gospel freedom for the prisoners, to preach gospel recovery of sight for the blind, to preach gospel to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He has compelled me to preach this good news to everyone. And you know something? I think we need compelling experiences like that in our lives. The compelling to preach is not far from the compelling, the compassion for the poor. The person who stands up and preaches the gospel of Christ is in tandem with the person who stands up with compassion for the poor and the needy of our world. They go together. You can't have the one without the other. Because when we preach the gospel, it is done in love and it is practical. The poor, the prisoners, the blind, the oppressed. Such is the gospel of Christ. And here's the question. What is compelling in the gospel of Christ for you just now? What is there about the gospel that compels you to do something? One final thing. It is special. The gospel is very, very special. It was Peter who declared that outside of the good news of Christ, there is no salvation. Now, that's quite a radical thing that he said. Here it is here in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other name. The gospel of Christ is very, very special. We have no right to change it. What stands written in these gospels, we have no right to alter, and we have no right to downsize in any way, but we must preach the whole counsel of God. To put it in his own inimitable way, Paul put it like this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. It's quite possible that Paul wrote this. He wrote this before any of the gospel writers started to put pen to paper. So here it is. What's the gospel about? How important is it? What does it mean? The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. It's not by works. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The gospel is very special. The gospel is godly. The gospel is truthful. And I feel that the gospel compels us to do things, to go somewhere, to speak to someone, to get involved in a church, to do some sort of ministry, to do something. We're compelled to do something. I furthermore believe it's a matter of life and death. I really do believe that.